From Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much for listening on this Thursday morning. Text line, time permitting, 251-343-0106. We'll read your text and I'll respond to whatever it is that's on your mind. Still to come on today's program, about a half hour from now, former state senator Rusty Glover will come on. He and I had a good conversation earlier, school choice, but we'll talk about some other things as well. So please make sure that you stay tuned for that. Joining us now on the line, however, very, very kind, very generous with her time, State Representative Susan Dubos from Shelby County, where I'm from originally, joins us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you for having me on. And as always, I'm just happy to be here and talk about the issues of the day.
Hey, we appreciate you making time for us. Well, you've seen the last few days, the Alabama Public Library Service is withdrawing its affiliation from the Alabama, from the American Library Association. It ran, by the way, by a self-proclaimed Marxist. But is this in the proceeding in the direction that you had hoped?
Yes, baby steps, baby steps. I wrote an op-ed that sort of kicked this all off at the end of August and just started educating people and libraries about what's going on with the American Library Association, that it's actually just become an activist organization that's not necessarily looking out for children's best interests. They believe kids should be able to read any book on the shelf, regardless of the content, regardless of how sexually explicit it is, and that they should have reading privacy so the parents don't even have to know what the kids are reading. A lot of our libraries across the state have taken this issue on. And I was pleased to see that our Alabama Public Library Service did vote to immediately withdraw from the American Library Association. I was at that meeting, holding their feet to the fire. And I hope to see our local libraries follow suit, because that, again, will be a vote that each local library needs to make. And I hope that the members of the community will encourage that vote and that they will continue to work on having good representative members on the board of directors at the local level.
What occurs to me about this discussion, it's not just like isolated to one area. It's not just the North Shelby County Library. But when we talked about Huntsville and Madison County, we talked about Ozark and Dale County, my neck of the woods here in Baldwin County, that it does seem to be sort of a reoccurring thing statewide, and that kind of puts it in you guys' purview in the legislature. Do you foresee the legislature moving at all on any of this library stuff this year?
Well, there's a couple of different things we can do, and it's all up for discussion. So, there's been talk about cutting back on funding for libraries if they're not including parents in the decision-making process, if they're not adapting some of all of Governor Ivey's requested changes for the library code, which they have to meet, by the way, in order to receive the state funds. The other thing we could do is something like what Texas did, is really start tightening up on our obscenity clause in a way. So Texas has a bill, HB 900, which the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeal ruled in favor of. It has said that ruling could stand. And that standard that they have implemented in Texas says that standards are being upheld and the decision effectively demonstrate that book collections curated for minors can be weeded for sexually explicit and pervasively vulgar content, removing sexually explicit, pervasively vulgar, and educationally unsuitable books from school libraries does not violate the First Amendment. So in a lot of cases, that's all that parents are asking for, is to have these sexually explicit books or books that are not age appropriate moved out of the children's section and into the adult section, or at least into a section where the parents would have to make the selection. It wouldn't be within reach or wouldn't be easily available to a child, to a minor.
And you and I have had a bunch of conversations about this over the last few months. And what occurs to me, what I find, and I know that this isn't true everywhere, but this is when it does become very controversial. There's a lot of upset people in these jurisdictions, and these were their local libraries, and the local library board and our librarians or whatever, just they're not interested in having a discussion. It's like, we're going to do it our way, and we don't care what the that's public right. think. And that's what you're, I guess, trying to like,
yeah, you know, I think a lot of times maybe we all want the same thing and we're going about it a different way, but of course we want to maintain free speech. Of course, we want books to be available. We're just talking about them being appropriate books. These are books that are paid for with state money, with taxpayer money. Well, actually, local money. In most cases, it's local tax dollars that purchase these books. So I think that extreme care should be taken when you are curating the books that go into a library. You can buy any book you want off of Amazon and have it delivered to your house the next day. And parents can buy those, you know, sexually explicit books to their heart's content for kids. Do we want our libraries full of all those kind of books? No, we don't. And one of the issues we need to look at is what is found in libraries and what are banned books? And the fact of the matter is, kids need to be exposed to a variety of information with their parents' permission. And most parents are not ready for their kids at a young age to be confronted with transgender issue or sexually explicit books. And, you know, I order these books and I have them and I make sure I read them. And I'm telling you, I had my maids coming in yesterday and I had to hide the book. I was embarrassed to have it. There's this book called The Teen's Guide to Sex, Relationships, and Being a Human. Let's talk about it. And this book has like graphic drawings. So they're cartoon drawings, which I think they think makes them acceptable, but it's very explicit sexual positions and content. And I was embarrassed to have it in my house. I had to cover it up when people came over. And this is a book for teens. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about. If we're going to have it in the library, it doesn't need to be where a young person can have easy access to it without parental permission.
Well, that's just the thing. It's not that you're burning books or even banning books. You just want to, I think a lot of people just want them in their age-appropriate category.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you know, and I think that this conversation is going to continue on for a while because we're going to get to where, you know, we're going to look at contents in school libraries. We're going to talk about what's appropriate there. And these are just conversations that need to be had. And I'm not talking about, I'm not the person to say what's right or what's wrong, but these are conversations that we all need to have and have respectful debate about it. And I was reading one survey. It was really, really interesting. I don't know if you ever read The Free Press by Barry Wise, but she's just one of my favorite journalists. She happens to be a Jewish lesbian, but I actually absolutely love her publication. And it's a digital publication, but there was an article in there called The Truth About Banned Books by James Fishback. And I highly recommend this article. But he did a survey of school district libraries and found that the real problem is a lot of these libraries are so one-sided in their content. They'll carry all these progressive books with progressive ideas, but nothing that reflect the conservative viewpoint. So, you know, do we want our kids to just hear one side of the story? Should libraries carry books that only peddle progressive ideas? No. We want books that advocate for conservative view too, so that everybody, young minds especially, can benefit from a full spectrum of opinions. And so many times what we're seeing published now are one-sided.
Well, yeah.
And he went through and did a whole bunch of books, and it was very, very interesting. You'd see 75% of the libraries would have the 1619 project in it. 0% of them would have, you know, a conservative viewpoint in any of those areas.
Well, it's this, and this is like, you know, I keep up with these things pretty regularly. it feels like this. I think this is the way it feels to a lot of people that, you know, we're kind of plodding along, not thinking about libraries and what's in them. We assume everything is sort of on the up and up. And, like, you can imagine, you hear, well, they're having these discussions and town hall meetings in other parts of the country about having more progressive, quote-unquote, progressive content in their libraries. And then they, as a community, come to this conclusion, yeah, we need to have these kinds of books, expose young minds to this. And, you know, we can agree to disagree about it, but that's the way what they see fit. Here in Alabama, however, we never got to have that discussion about what's appropriate, what's age appropriate. It just seems like all of a sudden it sort of happened, and you got, next thing you know, you got Drag Queen Story Hour in your public library. And I think that's where people are like, wait a minute, I didn't vote for this. I didn't okay for this, yeah. But yet here you are. We know better than you, right. And we're going to do it.
Yeah, exactly right. Librarians have become the judge and jury on the content of these libraries, and they are trying to, you know, force our cultural opinions by what they curate in their collections. And parents have discovered this, and they are saying, no, we want to be a part of this conversation. We want to be a part of deciding what goes in these libraries that purchase books with our tax dollars, and we want to make sure that at a minimum, our side is represented, and that books are not forced on young people by putting them in a display right in front of them when they walk into the library. That is a librarian deciding what your child reads. When they put it in a display, and next one particular topic that many parents would find offensive for a young child, and they put it in a display in front of a child, that is pushing an agenda. And that's one of the things that, you know, Governor Ivey has recommended. If there's going to be any promotional materials in a library, it needs to be voted on in a public hearing. People need to have notice of the hearing, and they need to be there to give their opinions. That is extremely fair, extremely reasonable.
Joined by State Representative Susan Dubose here on the program. Representative, a couple of quick questions before we get you out of here. We'll start with the school choice discussion. Do you feel pretty good about where we are on that coming up with this legislative session?
I feel good about school choice. I have always been a proponent of school choice. I think, you know, we need to proceed cautiously, and I think that we will. Governor Ivey, this is her number one issue this year, and I hope to be behind her school choice bill. I have not seen it yet, so I can't say what's in there, but I think it'll be a good bill. I think that it will not be universal school choice all at once. It will be graduated. And, of course, there's always opt-in. This is the type of situation where students decide if they want to participate and schools decide if they want to participate. So it's opt-in in all situations.
And lastly, gambling. I know there's a bill that they got down in Montgomery available to members to look at. But any initial reaction to where the chamber's moving on gambling?
I have not seen that bill. I did get a notice yesterday that it was available for us to go down there and read, and I'm probably not even going to get to see it till next week when we go down for session. And I, you know, I don't know where this is going to fall out. I think, you know, the vote's going to be pretty close. So it's going to be very interesting. And as always, the devil's in the details. You know, you're seeing a lot of promotion of this where people say, yes, I want the lottery. I want the lottery. Vote for gambling. But what they don't realize is that this bill is going to be comprehensive gambling, and it's going to be much, much larger than lottery. And it's going to include much more than any bill that we have ever faced before, because we're going to have more casinos, more full-out gaming casinos statewide. We're going to have sports betting, you know, and then that, you know, digital online sports betting. So actually all sorts of, you know, betting will be available on your phone. So I think that, you know, just thinking you want the lottery, that's one thing. But we as legislators have to consider the big picture on what we're bringing into our state, what's the societal cost going to be, what's the, you know, is crime going to increase? Yes. Is sex trafficking going to increase? Yes. Will there be increased addictions and mental health problems? Yes. Is all of that worth the additional tax dollars that our state will get? So that's the question that each of us as legislators will be answering very soon.
Representative, you're very kind with your time, and hopefully we can catch up again in the coming weeks.
Yep, we'll see how things go. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Thank you. State Representative Susan Dubose there. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Ford Show on FM Talk 106.5.
When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Every gambler knows